You don't need to open your Bibles this morning. You're just going to listen. Now, the reason I don't want you to open your Bibles is because, have you ever played Bible sword drill? You're going to play it this morning whether you want to or not. And I don't have a text. I just have about 5,000 verses that I'm going to use this morning. Actually, not that many. That's a little exaggerated. That's evangelistically speaking, by the way. But I do have quite a few. And the reason I don't have a primary text is I have a primary topic today. I want to speak to you on the topic of it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. I was going to start a new series of messages this morning, but as I was preparing the last couple of weeks, boy, the Lord just really burned my heart to preach this message today. And I told the early service, I don't know why, but I have learned over the years that when God really burdens my heart with a message to preach it, because somebody needs it, and if nobody out there needs it, I'm usually the one that needs it. So I don't know who this message is for today, but I'm going to preach it in obedience to the Lord. And it's a message that deals with the heart. And here's the reason. God measures us by the heart. He knows what's inside you. He can see through all the facade. He can see through all the outward mask that we wear. He can see past everything, and he looks directly at your heart. You know, we as humans tend to measure people by outward appearance, don't we? I mean, if somebody we look at and they look nice outwardly, we say that person is a good-looking person, or they're a pretty person. If we look at a person and we don't think they're so pretty, we say they are ugly based strictly on our judgment looking on outward appearance. Or too many times we make our judgment about a person based on the clothes they wear, the way they fix their hair, the color of their skin, all based on outward appearance. But the Bible makes it absolutely clear God does not judge on outward appearance. He judges us on what's inside the heart. And the problem that we have with that as humans is, we'll see in a minute what the Bible has to say about our hearts in its natural state. And because the Bible says our hearts are deceitful, they are desperately sick, we cannot make proper judgments about people or even ourselves by looking just at the outward appearance. We have to see what's really deep down in the heart as God sees. Just listen as I read these verses to you. And I was serious in telling you I have many verses this morning. The reason I'm using many verses is I want you to see the counsel of God's word on this topic and how important it is and how much he has to say to us about it throughout his word. 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, verse 7, as Samuel was beginning to help go through the process of God anointing the next king, God spoke to Samuel and said, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I rejected him." And then it says this, "For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." The Lord looks at the heart. Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verses 9 to 10. "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds." In the book of Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, verses 26 and 27, "Moreover," God says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone." The hard heart is what he's referring to, that heart that is hardened because of sin. "I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances." God does not look at the outward appearance of a man or a woman, a boy or a girl. He measures us as he looks within our hearts. Years ago, Robert and I had the privilege of going, over the years, numerous times to a retreat center in Titusville, Florida, that was at the Park Avenue Baptist Church. Pastor Peter Lord, maybe some of you have heard of him. They had a retreat center. We went to a number of retreats there. And it was interesting, as you went into their facilities, they had a very nice, the rooms were very nicely decorated, very comfortable. But when you walked into the bathroom, as you went up to the mirror, you know when you get up in the morning, you go to the bathroom to look at your face, your hair, your appearance, to be able, hopefully, to correct it as much as possible, so you can be presentable to the world. And there in the corner of the mirror in the bathroom, there was a sticker, and this is what it said: "Is your heart right before God today? Is your heart right before God?" And the point was simple. It doesn't matter how good you look outwardly. If you don't look right inwardly, you're in a mess. And you've deceived yourself. And folks, that's what I want to deal with this morning. What does your heart look like this morning? Now, most of you look pretty nice this morning. Most of you look pretty nice this morning. No, you all look really good. You obviously spent time getting ready to come to church, making sure everything looked right. And that's great. That's good. But how's your heart this morning? When God looks in your heart, what does he see? Now, here's the problem we have with that. The Bible told us, I read it just a moment ago, the Bible says we as humans have a hard time understanding our hearts because our hearts are more deceitful than all else, it says. And then it says, too, they are desperately sick. Hey, folks, listen to me. And this is the culture of today does not like this. I don't guess they've ever liked it, though. The heart minus God is very sick. There's nothing good about the human heart apart from God. It's only by God's grace that God can make something good out of our old hardened hearts. And God says it is deceitful above all else. It's desperately sick. And because of that, we as humans in our human nature have a hard time properly evaluating what our hearts are like. I mean, I don't know how many people these years I've known and I've talked to, I've shared with, that, man, they were living for the devil. They didn't have a heart for God. They weren't living for the Lord, and yet you try to talk to them about it, and they can't see their error. They can't see that they're wrong. They don't see, can't see that there's anything in their life that needs to be corrected because their heart has deceived them. It's desperately sick. Who can understand it? And by the way, there's only one answer to that question. Only God can understand the human heart. So it's interesting to me that as you peruse through the pages of Scripture, you will find that God gives us some very clear teaching throughout his word to let us see how we can see our hearts like God sees our hearts. What I want to share with you this morning is I want to share with you how you can look at your life and can see the real condition of your heart before God this morning. So I want to give you some tests that reveal the true condition of the heart. I want to give you four of them this morning, and then I'll wrap it up. So I want you to listen to me really, really carefully. And by the way, this is simple truth. This is simple, but it's also very profound. How is your heart today? Well, this is how you can find out. This is how God sees your heart. Number one, you can tell the true condition of your heart by your countenance. You can tell the true condition of your heart by your countenance. Have you ever met a person, walked up to a person, started to talk to them? You could just tell by looking at their face that something was bothering them. Or maybe you walked up to somebody and you could just tell by looking at their face that something good had happened to them. I know when we were raising our children, I had two boys that we raised. That was always an interesting adventure. It was payback for my mama raising me, I guess. But when my boys, something would go on, I could look at their face and tell whether they'd done something right or wrong. They couldn't hide it. You could look at their face and tell if they were lying to me or not. You could just see, because there's something about our countenance that gives away the true condition of our heart. Our countenance will reflect the true inner condition of the inward heart. Proverbs 17:22 says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit or even a broken heart dries up the bones, and it's a reflection on the outside of a person of a broken heart. But a joyful heart is good. A broken spirit is bad. You see it on the countenance of a person. Proverbs 25, verse 23, the north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue, an angry countenance. Our faces, our countenance can often tell the true condition of our heart. Now, I have to tell you, if that's true, it bothers me sometimes watching some of y'all in church. And you're thinking, well, you ought to come out here and sit and let us look at you. See what that looks like. Yeah, you know what? Church people sometimes, not everybody, but there's some who just look mad at the world. I mean, they look like they've been sucking on lemons all night long. They're just bitter. I remember in one church I pastored, there was a man in our church. Our sanctuary is very unique shaped, and it was really laid out very oddly. But this gentleman sat right over here, and I'm not pointing to any of y'all over here, but he sat right over here. And I remember this guy, from the time worship started, in fact, before worship started, he'd come in, he'd sit, and by the way, it was always interesting, he sat by himself. Nobody wanted to sit with him. In fact, his wife sang in the choir, so she didn't have to sit with him on Sunday morning. And he looked like this the whole time. He's looking mad. We'd stand up and sing. He'd stand up. This is what he'd do. Like he was daring you to get him to smile or anything. He looked mad. He looked bitter. He looked angry. You know what? He was mad. He was angry. And he's one of the most bitter people I've ever met in my life. His face, his countenance gave it away. Hey, you don't believe that's true? Let me show you that biblically. All the way over in the book of Genesis, we're introduced to two men, Cain and Abel. You remember that story? At this particular place that I'm about to read for you in the Bible, Cain is not right with God. And the Bible says that God will not accept Cain's offering because Cain is not right with God. I want you to listen to the conversation between God. Well, actually, it's not between God and Cain. Cain didn't say anything. God was doing all the talking. I want you to listen at what God said to Cain. I'm reading out of Genesis 4, verses 5 to 7. But for Cain and his offering, he, that is God, had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and listen, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, and he's speaking about doing well in the heart, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, God says, then sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you. Do you hear what God said to him? Cain, if you were right with me, your countenance would be lifted up, because there's sin in your life. Sin is crouching at the door. I can see it in your face. Hey, folks. You can really tell what's in a person's heart oftentimes by looking at their face. Maybe you heard the story about the little girl who asked her grandmother, who very seldom looked very joyful or happy, she asked her grandmother how she felt. And the grandmother looked at the little girl and said that she felt fine, to which her little granddaughter said, well, grandma, if you feel good, why don't you tell your face? Why don't you tell your face. Hey, folks, listen to me. How in the world can a person who was lost and headed to hell and has been rescued by the grace and the goodness of God, how can they not reflect that goodness out of their face? I tell you what, the truth of the matter is there's a lot of people in the world that don't want what we got in the church because they've watched our faces. It doesn't mean you walk around with a silly grin on your face. But hey, if Jesus is Lord, if the joy of the Lord has captivated your heart and your life, your face has got to reflect that. And by the way, and I said this to the service at the end this morning, I'll go ahead and say it now. In this world we're living in that's so dark right now, what the world needs to see is some Christians who are happy about it. Show it in your face. But when the heart's not right, you can see it on the countenance. Test number one, you can tell the true condition of your heart by your countenance. Number two, you can tell the true condition of your heart by your consideration. By your consideration. In other words, you can tell what's in your heart by what you allow your thoughts and your minds to dwell on. You can tell the true condition of the heart by what you allow yourself to consider in your innermost thoughts. Now, with the countenance, people see that. With the consideration, only you really know what you think on when you're by yourself and what you like to allow your mind to dwell on. But really, our hearts reflect our thoughts. Our thoughts reflect our heart. And again, the Bible has a lot to say about that. Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as he, a man or woman, as he thinks within himself, so he is. So he is. As a person thinks within themselves. Mark 2, verses 20 and 21, Jesus was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of a man, proceeds evil thoughts. Romans 8, verses 6 and 8, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it's not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So in a very real way, we are what we think. What we allow to stay in our minds long enough will eventually come out of our lives. It reveals the true state of our heart. Boy, if you run to junk in your thoughts, guess what? That's what your heart's like. If you run to the trash of this world, guess what? It's just revealing the heart. If you dwell on bitterness over a person and all of a sudden, boy, you ever heard somebody say, well, I just want to give them a piece of my mind. Well, don't do that. You probably can't afford to lose any of it. But, you think about it. And before a person blows up, what have they done? They've thought about it for a long, 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 long time before they usually blow up. As a man is within himself, as he thinks within himself, so he is. You can tell the true condition of the heart by your countenance. You can tell the true condition of your heart by your consideration. Thirdly, you can tell the true condition of your heart by your conversation. You can tell the true condition of your heart by your conversation. In other words, the words we speak mirror what's deep down in our hearts. And how a person speaks, how they talk, reveals the true condition of their heart. Did you know that? Jesus one day was speaking to the disciples, Matthew 15, verses 10 to 20, and we read these words. After Jesus called the crowd to him, he said to them, hear and understand, it's not what enters into the mouth that defiles a man, but what proceeds out of the mouth that defiles the man. Then the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement? Well, sure they were offended. It was about them. But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted, but let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind, and if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. And Jesus said, are you still so lacking in understanding? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man? You can know what's deep down in your heart by the words you speak. And folks, that's why a person who's a constant gossip, a person who is always critical of others, a person who curses and fills their language with crude talk, all they're doing with their words is mirroring what's really deep down there in their soul. I remember a couple of different men in churches I've served. I won't give their names. You might know some of them. But one man, he was a deacon in our church, unfortunately. He was the biggest gossip I've ever met in my life. Something ever was stirred up in our church, I guarantee you, he started it. He thought he was an outstanding deacon. He thought he was right with God. He had deceived himself, and his mouth proved it. Because you can't be right with God and let your mouth be run like that. Another gentleman, he was actually a Gideon. This is not a reflection on Gideons whatsoever. I deeply appreciate the ministry of the Gideons. But he was a Gideon. And buddy, he used to cuss like crazy. I used to say he cussed like a sailor. Then I had a sailor fuss at me one time, said all sailors don't cuss. So I've stopped saying that. But you know what I mean? He just let the words fly. And I remember questioning somebody about the way he talked, claiming to be a Christian. And somebody said, oh, that's just Sam. That's just the way he is, trying to blow it off. You know what? That guy was exactly right. It was Sam. And that was exactly how he is. And his mouth was just showing the true condition of his heart. His words were revealing the state of his heart. My daddy used to say, when a person talked like that, they're just showing their ignorance. Jesus says, when a person talks like that, they're showing the true state of their heart. Listen to this. James 1, verse 26. I love the book of James. Oh, my goodness. It is pointed. It's straight to the point. You can't read James without getting convicted. And James doesn't beat around the bush. He just lays it out there as it is. And in James verse 26 of that first chapter, he says, if anybody thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. And this man's religion is absolutely worthless. Well, you want to know how God sees your heart this morning? How's your countenance? What's your consideration? How is your conversation? Lastly, this morning, and then I'll close with a quick application of this. You can know the true condition of your heart not only by your countenance, your consideration, and your conversation. You can tell the true condition of your heart by your conduct. You can tell the true condition of your heart by your conduct. In other words, you can tell what's in your heart by the actions of your life. Very simply, our actions, the way we live and act, are in reality the outward evidence of the true condition of our hearts. Matthew 7, verses 16 through 18 and verse 20, Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. And the fruit has to do with how they live. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles are they. So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. So then, you will know them by their fruits. The mirror of the heart is the action or the conduct of our lives. My favorite preacher growing up was a man by the name of Dr. Adrian Rogers. Boy, what a prince of preachers. Longtime pastor of the Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. Loved to hear Adrian preach. Loved to hear Adrian talk. He had that deep, booming voice. And one day, the story is told that Adrian was speaking to a group of seminary students, and they were discussing ministry. And in the class, one of the students asked him, Pastor Adrian, what are some of the difficult people I might run into out there in the ministry? And Adrian looked at that group of young men preparing for the ministry, and he said, boys, let me tell you something. The most difficult person you're ever going to meet in ministry is not the atheist who thinks there is no God. It is the lost church member that lives like there is no God. Our conduct, our fruit, gives away the true condition of our heart. Heard somebody use an illustration one time trying to talk about the fact of how some people claim to be something they're not. And they said this is kind of humorous, but it does make a point. They said that if you see a bird, and that bird walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, waddles like a duck, swims like a duck, and flies like a duck, it's most likely a duck. That's the reason somebody claims to be a Christian and they live like the devil. They talk like the devil. They live in this world like the devil. They're probably not a Christian. They're probably of the devil. Folks, you can't hide from your conduct. If what you say you believe is not affecting the way you live day in and day out, then whatever you claim you are, you're not. Because when God comes in and He changes your heart, you can't live like you used to anymore. So how do I really know what's in my heart? How can I see my heart like God sees it? You can tell by the countenance of your face, the consideration of your mouth, the conversation of your mouth, the consideration of your mind, and the conduct of your life. Now let me close real quickly this morning. How can I change my heart? How can I have a good heart? How can I have a heart that will be pleasing to God? And how can I have a heart that God would want me to have for His glory and honor? Four things. I'll share it quickly and we're going to close this morning. Number one, in order to have a good heart, you must have a converted heart. You must have a converted heart. And what I mean by this is that we must have a heart that's been converted from the old way of life to a new way of life. And that's what God said to us in the very beginning when I read these verses out of Ezekiel 36. God says, moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove that old hard heart of stone from you and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe all my ordinances. And folks, because in the human heart, it is desperately sick, it is deceitful, it's wicked. God has to give us a brand new heart in order for us to be able to live our lives pleasing to Him. And listen to me, God never does, He doesn't patch up the old heart. He does not do bypass surgery. When God gives us a new heart, He does a complete heart transplant. He takes the old heart out. He puts a new heart in that He can mold and make into the image of Jesus. My heart's not the same when Jesus comes in. He teaches me and He puts in my heart to walk with Him and to live righteously and to hunger for the things of God, to walk in the ways of God. And if that's not there from a new heart, you're never going to do it. It only comes by salvation. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. Our old human heart will never get us to where God wants us to be. You have to be born again. That's where it starts. The only way you can be born again is by trusting Christ to be your life and allowing God to take out that old hardened heart and give you. Boy, I've watched Him over these years. Oh my goodness. Man, some of the hardest old sinners you've ever seen, when they came to Jesus, all of a sudden Jesus transformed their life and he turned an old sinner into a saint. Boy, that's the good news of the gospel, isn't it? You got to have a new heart. The old heart won't do. There must be a converted heart. Secondly, this morning, if you're a Christian, one who has had their heart converted, you must have a clean heart. You must have a clean heart. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in this holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. He who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. Even as a believer, when sin comes in, if we don't deal with it right, it will once again blacken and harden our hearts. It keeps us from walking in fellowship with God. It keeps us from being what He wants us to be. And in order for me to have my heart in a position that God can mold and make it into the very image of His Son Jesus, then I've got to make sure when I do sin as a believer, that I deal with it seriously, that I deal with it like God says to deal with it, that I confess it, that I repent of it, I turn from it, so that He can once again not only cleanse my heart, but mold it and make it into what He wants it. I told the early service this morning, I remember one time, you know, people are funny. I made a statement from the pulpit that I had to deal with sin, a sin in my life that God had convicted me of. And there was a lady at the end of the service came up to me, and you could tell on the countenance of her face she was not happy. And she said, I can't believe you as a preacher stood in that pulpit this morning and said you had sin in your life. I went, hello? Do you actually think your preacher doesn't sin? Just go ask Robin. She'll tell you. There's plenty of sin there. Hey, folks, if I don't have to deal with sin, then I'm perfect like Jesus, and I'm not. There's things in my life I have to deal with, because if I allow my flesh to take over, buddy, I can blow it too. I have blown it. But you know what God did when He gave me a new heart? When I do sin, I can't live in that sin. I can't be happy in that sin anymore. He convicts me about it because it's not right. And I know the only way I can get right with God, stay right with God, walk with God, is to make sure that I confess my sin so that He might both forgive and cleanse my heart from sin so that my heart is right before God. In fact, as a believer, if you can sin and not see the seriousness of it, not want to deal with it, something seriously wrong with you. So, How can God give us a good heart? It has to be a converted heart to start with. It's got to be a new heart. It's got to be a heart transplant. It's got to be a clean heart. We make our hearts clean through confession and repentance. Thirdly, you must have a controlled heart. Hey, I can't keep my heart right. Only God can keep my heart right. So in order for my heart to stay right, I have to let the Holy Spirit of God guide me. I have to let Him control me. That's why He was given. He's given as a helper. I need His help to walk the Christian life like God's called me to, because if I'm not careful, my thoughts won't be right, my conversation won't be right. All those things I talked about aren't going to be right. So I need Him to control my life. That's why Romans 8, verses 5 to 14, and I won't take the time to read all those verses, I hope you will. That's why it tells us that we have to be led by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit must control us. The Holy Spirit must be in charge. We have to allow Him to fill us so that we're walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, so that we won't grieve, quench, or resist the Holy Spirit of God. Boy, I have to have my heart controlled. So I need a converted heart. I need a clean heart. I need a controlled heart. And here's the last thing, we're closing. We must have a channeled heart. A channeled heart. And what I mean by that, our hearts must be channeled to the right thoughts. And that's why the Bible has so much to say to us about what we allow our minds to dwell on. We must set our minds on the things of God. A lot of verses I could read to you on that. Colossians 3:2 puts it as simple as any of them. Set your mind on things above, not the things that are on this world. To a large degree, our minds will determine what our hearts will be like. And folks, that's why it bothers me to hear people talk about some of the movies they go see, some of the things, the music they listen to. Oh my goodness. I don't want to ask this because then you have to confess your sin, I guess, but have you listened to some of the secular garbage that's out there? Oh my word. And unfortunately, many kids today, they're just being bombarded by this. Some of the movies we watch, books that we read. Do you realize if your minds are not channeled to the right things, the influence the world can make on you because you're thinking wrong? How does God see your heart this morning? How does He see you? Well, I hope this morning you can say, well, God sees a heart that's like King David, a heart after Him. And I trust today that God, if He hasn't stirred your heart to have that kind of heart, He'll do so even this morning. And if you're here today and there's never been a time in your life that you've put personal faith in God's Son, the only way to get a new heart is by trusting Jesus and letting Him take that old heart of sin, that old heart of stone, and give you a brand new heart that He can mold and make to the glory of God. Father, thank You for Your Word today. Thank You for the privilege that we have of looking at Your Word. And Lord, even now, as we come to this time of commitment, if there's somebody here who does not know You, who has never had the transforming power of God, give them a new heart. I pray that, Lord, that they cannot resist Your work in their hearts today. And Lord, that You would bring such conviction in their life that they cannot wait to get their heart right with You this very morning. We're going to stand and sing a hymn of commitment in just a minute. I'm going to be down front to receive anyone that might want to come forward. If you're here today and you need to get your heart right with God, you need to trust Jesus. Boy, would you just step out as we're singing in a minute. Come take me by the hand and say, Brother Ken, I need to get my heart right with God. Boy, we'll have one of our staff members share with you today and show you from God's Word how you can call on the name of the Lord today to receive a new heart. Would you trust Him? Would you come today and make that commitment? And then, Christian, if God has spoken to your heart today, boy, if there's anything that you need to confess, you need to get right, boy, do so. Do so. Ask the Lord to transform your heart. Ask Him to cleanse your heart. Ask Him to focus your heart. This altar's open if you need to come for a time of prayer, or maybe just where you stand today, you need to ask God to do a deep new work deep down in your heart this day. So, Father, we commit this invitation to You now in Jesus' name. Amen.